I put his name on my savings account. And the next time I went to the bank, they said, well, that the account is all cleared out. Your husband put it in a checking account in his own name. And I was like, no money. So, I'll lock him. Then the expression, we went to Oklahoma, and the depression hit right away. Well, first, we moved out there in 1928. 29, we moved back in 29, and my little girl was born in 1930, and of course I didn't have any money then. He'd taken it all, and we didn't even have a bed for her. Had to take a bureau drawer and put her in that. But I used to sew a lot, and so I entered some clothes in the fair, and I got first prize one. And I entered some chickens, and I got first prize on them. It was enough to buy a crib, but he put up no money, none. The chickens I was supposed to raise and had the money from, he took that to pay the doctor bill. So it was just everything that he could get his hands on, he took. And of course my folks, a lot of them, aunts and uncles, even my brothers and sisters sent money. And I put it in the bank, and the children's name. Well, my little boy was born in 1931, and all the banks were closed. When they opened up, well, he went down and got all the money, and I never knew what happened to that. So, the marriage was beginning, even though I didn't have a hearing aid then. I could see that things weren't going to work out. And there was just no way to turn. I was too proud to come home with nothing. And in the meantime, he had mortgaged all his parents' livestock. And I saw the mortgage in his bureau drawer, and I told his mother. She didn't believe me until she got notice that the stock had been sold and that chattel mortgage hadn't been paid off. Then she blamed it. He blamed it. He said that I needed the money. He had to do it for me. Well, she didn't tell me that. She just acted, hatred, whatever. So, they had to pay that off. Then they asked him to move. He was getting to be too expensive for them.
Did they believe him still?
I still believed him. I was still blood thicker than water. So he got this job being a manager for a ranch down in the southern part of Oklahoma. And the owner was a manager for the Wilson Company, a cheese factory. But this was quite a nice ranch, and with two separate parcels. One was planted in cotton. It was beautiful. The house sat way up on a bluff, and the cotton was way down in the field. And there was a lot of big rocks, and it was a beautiful, beautiful setting. But the roof leaked, and the rats were rampant. And we lived in that for about 3 months until the people who had leased these place before moved out. Then we could move into this one down closer to the highway. And it was full of rats. And it was filthy dirty. Well, the upshot of it was, he got the stock all together, and he fattened up some hogs, and the calves were born. He took it over to the he took it to Eufaula, Oklahoma. That was quite a ways away. And sold them. They weren't his. And of course, the manager for the cheese plant was bound to find out. When I found out what he had done, he didn't tell me. One of the men that drove the truck for the milk, the cheese plant, told me, "I can't go on. I can't be involved in this." So I went and got a divorce. That's they knew that I was doing most of the work there. They were happy to have me. But what was it? So I moved to town, and after I handed him the divorce papers, and we had this apartment. He lived down there. So the manager came down from Blackwell and fired him, told him to leave. I think he stayed there. All my nice furniture, everything, he swept out. It cost a lot of money. It was beautiful. I had to almost give it away. I think I got $50 for everything. So I got my ticket home, and I came out here, and I got an apartment for $18 a month. With a little house with just one bedroom, but all three of us slept in one bedroom, a big bedroom. And the children went right to school, and we lived right down there close to the beach in Seal Beach.
And was your sister still there? Was your sister still in Seal Beach?
Yes, yes. They had a plumbing, Putnam's Plumbing. They've been there for 50. I think it was 50 years that she was in business there, she and her husband. And it's still in business, so her son's still running it. Anyway, I got this little house there, that was when the war broke out. I lived there till the war broke out. And then I realized it. There was so much, the things had changed after the war broke out. So I couldn't afford to pay for my transportation to Los Angeles, where I worked for the May Company, and in upholstery, real upholstery. And so I had the pet pen in Los Angeles open till, until I could get me a place that I was well sure of. So,
how did that feel to you?
What?
How did that feel to you?
It broke my heart. They bring her up there. From 1943. And I got a job with Douglas. And I had to work for graveyard shift. I got my job in 42. And I brought them back for Christmas in 1943. But I had made a down payment on my house there in Seal Beach. It was only a block off the ocean. And that was a playground. It was a good place to play then. And they had so many friends. My daughter was so active, and she was very, very good. Her teachers all told me that I should advance her a year in school, but I felt that she was better off with the children her own age rather than be advanced in school where really she wasn't ready for her classmates. And so I just kept her right there. And so I was with the graveyard. When I got the house ready, I had to tear out all the inside of it. And my brother-in-law helped me. And we plastered the whole thing and made a bedroom for my son. With a big closet in it. There was no room for a closet in the other bedroom. And there was just the one bath. But it was home. So it was a small place, but it had a garage apartment in back. And it was rented there for $25 a month. Incredible, wasn't it? And but they had two little boys, and that was fine. I didn't mind that. But the people they had their friends move in with them. Well, it was hardly big enough. Why, the whole thing was over a single garage. And how they ever got that many people in here? Well, they had just a couple of two boys that were a little bit older than theirs, and mine were older yet. And I told them, I said, I can't have that. I said, I'm trying to raise a family, and I just can't have that many people on 25 feet of ground. Well, they got rid of those people. And the next week they moved in another couple that had five Afghan dogs. Well, I just about hit the roof. Well, you know, it was one thing. I was working a difficult shift in graveyard. I was raising two children that I was constantly worried about. Now, not so much at night, because I knew they were in bed when I left, and I knew they weren't going to get up. And I knew that most of the parents whose children they went with had the same idea. They went to bed and they stayed there. And anyway, the woman next door was, she was watching the house very close, too. A little bit too close. And so they moved out, and I said, I don't think I'll rent that place again. I said, if I've got something like that, it just takes too much out of me. But the gas man had his mother-in-law living with him. And he said, I can't take that old lady anymore. She was simply runs his wife. And so he says, I'll pay the rent. Anything that has to be done, no matter what you say, he says, I'll do it. If you'll just rent it to her. Well, they did an awful lot of talking, my brother-in-law and he, before I finally consented to let her move in. Well, I like I said, I worked graveyard shift, and so it was one of those things. She knew when I got up, and she'd be downstairs. The minute she heard me flush the toilet, she was downstairs. And if that front doorbell rang, she was downstairs answering the door before I could even make it. And I guess she lived there for about 5 years. And I just kind of shut her off and said, well, I was busy and I didn't have time to talk. But I couldn't keep the door locked because the children were in and out. Well, I lived there until my daughter married. And at that time, I was working at the Newport. And I had never boyfriend before she had. When she started to college, she insisted on going to down here in Santa Ana, Costa Mesa.
Orange Coast?
Orange Coast. She insisted that we're just starting up. That's just a Cal College, and I'd rather you go to Long Beach. Well, no, she... Well, one day, I was making this awning for the Fleischmann yacht, and this man came in, a great big tall fella, his arms were real long, one pant leg was halfway down past his knee, the other one was torn off of above his knee, and his t-shirt was too tight, and there was quite a gap between his pants and his t-shirt. I was alone there. And I said, the boys come back from fitting a boat. I said, did I ever see Frankenstein himself? And I described it and told him what he was after. Well, they immediately got on the phone and told the Fleischmann that I was working on the awning and that they would have it over there as soon as it was done. Well, after school started, that was in the summertime, after school started, I came home, and who would be sitting on my bed and foot? Mary. Well,
she met him at school?
Oh, she graduated.
No, she met him at school?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. That was when I was working at Newport, and I had a lot of fun down in Newport. All those skippers used to come in, off the boats, you know, and they'd always be kidding me. And I had a birthday one year, and, you know, I don't remember how old I was, but this skipper was in here, and he said, you know, you're just the girl that I should have on my yacht to take back to Martha's Vineyard. And I said, well, this is just a little girl that's got two kids and is about to go. So, anyway, it was my birthday. So we went out and we got a cake. And we put 24 candles on them. Well, how'd you know how old I was? They said, oh, that's just half of them. I wasn't that old at that time. But, you know, they come in and they do little things like that made it very, very enjoyable. And you know, this one, the movie producer, he came in and he took my movies of me, showing up his cell cover. Well, it's all very, well, let's say, one romantic, because that doesn't fit the bill. But it was fun. And then when my daughter was in senior year in high school, she was a football queen. And one of the boys that worked there, which is Percy, I was going with a girl who was in the orange band. And so Orange and Huntington Beach were going to have a football game. And what is it, the other? And I said, well, Huntington Beach will win. I said, my daughter's the football queen. And this boy said, oh no. He says, Orange is going to win. You just haven't kept up on things. This is my girlfriend's in the band. So I said, well, I'll just bet that I ain't beat you. I'll take you up on that. He says, now what else do we do? I said, well, if the Orange wins, I'll give you a chicken dinner. And if Orange, if Huntington Beach wins, and you give me one. So the boss said, let's make Cushing's the logo. And so I made Cushing's for all of us. And we all went, of course, I had to sit in the Orange side. And I was rooting for both sides, and they said, hey, you're rooting for the Orange. I said, well, that's okay. They made a good play. And it came out a tie. So we all got together and we had a chicken dinner anyway. But it was good fun. We used to go out on the yacht, and that's when my boy got interested in yachts. Percy wanted me to go along because I was the one who was going to be doing the work. And he was trying to sell the people and the job. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of trips over to Catalina. And he anchored there in Cherry Cove, mm-hmm. where most of the yacht owners used to anchor. And we'd had a big party that the fish we catch going over. Oh, yes. Oh, my boy. He just fell in love with that sort of thing. And Catherine was a little bit older, and she had what she wanted to do. She was very lucky in that when she was 12 years old, I had brought her back home from the orphanage. I paid $15 a month each for them up there. It wasn't for grabs, but it was much as I could give. I would have paid more if I had had it. And when Nun, when she was in those late years in high school, she had a project she wanted to do. She was very active. She was always the president of something. And she wouldn't go along. But Bob was a bit younger, and he'd go. And this was just the best thing for him. Then she did that last year. The whole group of the girls went to the teacher's house, and she lived in Newport. And when she had a slumber party for them, and in the morning, while they had to leave, they wanted to go home, that was. And so Callan called me up at the upholstery shop and said that she wanted to bring the bedding down. They'd get home, but they wanted to bring the bedding down. I said, all right, I'll see the boys go down and pick it up. So the boys went down and picked up the bedding, and the girls started walking down to the plumbing shop, and of course you know how the police are down there in Newport. Any kids in a group, but they, especially during vacation, Easter week or anything, they pick them up. And so they asked them where they were going, and they told them, so they said, come on, get in. So here comes the police guys, maybe positive those girls at my upholstery shop. Of course, they thought it was a lark. Well, it really was. There was nothing wrong with it. It was just a lark. And I think the boys took them home in the trucks. But they had a good time. I had a good time. And with the person taking Bob and I out, and sometimes he would use Bob to help him with some of his work with the canvas. And he didn't pay him anything, but then I was doing real good. I was getting my transportation and a lot of extra transportation sometimes. And the boat trips and everything, but I thought I was well paid. And then he was going to retire at 65. And the two boys had been working in the shop, wanted to take over. So they had to do the work themselves in order to be able to pay for the franchise. And so that put me out of work. And so I just reapplied at Douglas, and they took me right back in. One Friday, just like when Douglas laid me off. They laid me off on a Friday. I went to work on a Monday for Percy. When Percy laid me off, on Friday, I went to work for Douglas on a Monday.
And that was in 1950?
1950, mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back and ask you if you were prepared at all by anyone for menstruation.
Menstruation?
Mm-hmm. If your mother had talked to you about that before it happened.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, my sister did, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And when it came, it was at night, and I understood what it was all for and everything, and I even tried to talk to my own daughter that way, although she wasn't in favor of listening to anything else. She probably had heard it from her schoolmates and all that before. But, I was prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And I was prepared for the... change of life too.
Menopause.
I kept menstruating so much. And I went to the doctor, it was just around, there was no stop to it. So I went to the doctor, and he gave me a couple of radiation treatments, and that ended the whole thing. I think I was 50.